One Side Show!
All right, welcome to The Fold, actually the very first episode of The Fold. And some of you may be watching and know that previously, Fun Size had a podcast called The Hustle. And we loved The Hustle, but it's been a while since we've published anything. And we wanted to bring it back because we loved talking to designers, design leaders, and other product people that are changing the way we do business and changing the design world. So we decided to bring it back with a brand new name. So as I mentioned, welcome to The Fold. Just a quick little snippet about The Fold is that it's really focusing on real world leadership, focusing on how people lead, how people adapt, how people really make an impact within the design industry. It's a space for a candid conversation with agency owners, innovators, industry leaders who are shaping their fields, whether it's like navigating really hard decisions, scaling a business, leveraging emerging technology, starting a business, really anything that's driving significant outcome. And so these conversations that we hope to have or that we will have are a platform for our guests to share their experiences, challenges, successes, and really just focus on people that are doing game-changing things and have real-world experience doing so. And so for our first episode, we have a really exciting guest. And his name is Brian Peterson. And I'll get to introducing him in a little bit. But before we do, we also have another co-host here by the name of Anthony Armendariz. It's off to a great start.
This is great. I'm here.
Okay, cool. So a little bit about Brian. I'll let you introduce yourself, but I wanted to introduce you, my version of you.
Cool.
So first of all, Brian is an amazingly talented artist. Check out, what is it, ironcobra.net?
.tv.
.tv, ironcobra.tv for all of his personal passion project artwork. It's really awesome. You are a Call of Duty aficionado. What is your, everything you always say whenever that gets brought up, what's your kill rate?
Oh, I think the KD spread. I haven't played for a while, but KD spread was probably like a, on average, I, you know, I'll crush like a 22.
Okay.
20 to 2 or something. So it's either Battlefield or Call of Duty, but that's been, okay, since the toddler, that's probably been slower for the last couple of years. Yeah.
Hi, you're Call of Duty too, right?
I used to.
Okay.
Yeah, I was obsessed with it for a while, but I stopped. But I'm obsessed with another game now.
Okay. I've actually never played Call of Duty or what is it?
Battlefield.
Battlefield, yeah.
Well, we should do
your life's probably the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably, I don't know if it's better or worse, but I haven't.
We should have interviewed him over a live stream of Call of Duty. Yeah,
that's the next episode. dipping in your professional life, you're actually a fundraiser for a while. 2 years from about 2018 to 19 to 20 maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 2.5, which is always wild when we're talking with people. Mm-hmm. Like all of like the new fundraisers are like, oh, I thought you were here for like 10 years. And I was like, oh, it's been like 2 years.
So I was actually going to say that because I looked at your LinkedIn profile to be sure I knew the years. And it felt like a lot longer than that.
There it is.
Sure did.
Quality over quantity. Yeah.
But whenever you were here, you're product design lead and then went to associate design director. And then you flew the coop.
Flew the coop.
You went over to, well, you took a break for a little bit.
Yeah, it was about 6 months.
Yeah, and then you went to a firm.
Yeah, back to in-house, which was great. I like the gap time.
Yeah.
Which is good.
But good for your soul, I'm sure.
It is good. Is that still your view of me?
What's that?
This readout, is that still the view of like I flew the coop in your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
Traitor.
I was hurt. My heart was hurt.
Whenever you're close enough to touch Anthony's hand, though, so this is good because if you just I can't do it to yours, but I'll figure it out.
You're at a firm, you started as
product design manager, yeah. Joined as on the merchant internal tools, like a lot of like SaaS backend stuff, and then most recently, I got to be part of like a lot of really fun things with like the firm card. A lot of bits on like the consumer app. Like I feel like I've kind of moved from Ben, we got a good mix of that in fund size too, of like consumer, back-end tooling, agent tooling, mm-hmm. from the like B2B back to the direct consumer side. So yeah, that's been the most recent one, which has been really rad. Mm-hmm. Very different toolkits that you have to use. But yeah.
But all, it's all the same reason. Though, right?
Yeah.
Different, but the same.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to intro, Brian? The core memories that you might have of Brian?
While you do it.
A core memory of Brian. We spent a lot of time together, but my favorite memory is one night after a company happy hour, you and I sat on the curb outside of a bar on the east side, and we just talked for like an hour or something. And that was a really special moment for me. That's my core memory.
That's so wild. If it's the one that I'm remembering, I'm pretty sure I said something earlier in the night that probably crossed a boundary. And then we spent the whole time talking about it.
I don't remember what we talked about.
At least that's good. Cool.
I remember. Yeah, we didn't. I remember talking to you. Yeah, like yeah. Your time here, I remember talking about things. And I remember always loving talking to you. So every conversation was a good one, in my opinion.
This is great. This is why I just love the hand.
And it's happened a few times now where we just happen to pop in the same coffee shop at the same time, or we can kind of coordinate there. And that's been kind of cool just to randomly have an opportunity to catch up with you that's not planned. And so
mm-hmm. I feel that.
Appreciate you coming out.
I feel that.
So didn't that happen recently? And y'all got to talking?
Yeah.
We were about both. The state of the industry and design management and whatnot.
Yeah. We were both just at the local coffee shop in our neighborhood, tiny little place, and saw him walked in and we gave each other the salute or whatever and hopped over to catch up with him, and he took a break from work and we just catching up on what Brian was doing. We started, I don't know how we got into it, but we started talking about things that we were both seeing that were kind of changing in the design management space. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was such an interesting conversation. I really felt bad for having to bail. But I'm glad that you were able to come here to like continue that, because I think it's some really good stuff that we were discussing.
Yeah, that hurt that you bailed.
See, good. He flew the coop on you and you were hurt.
Yeah.
I was Same hurt. Thing.
It's okay. And I apologize for flying the coop on you guys too. It was one of the best 2.5 years that I've ever had. And we're still here.
So let's dig into what y'all were talking about. I was curious because obviously I wasn't part of that conversation. And so I was like hearing bits and pieces from Anthony, because he was really excited about what y'all talked about.
Yeah.
And so like, I was just curious as to, you know, where things started, because, you know, design management as a role has been around for quite a while. And, you know, it's really interesting because of Brian, you're like you mentioned, your most recent role is director of product at a firm, but then
product design.
Yeah. But you started as product design manager. So it's like, there must've been some evolution there.
Yeah. And even wilder, we don't even have those roles in agency. You're like product design lead, and then you're associate design director. And then like before that as a startup, like nobody has that role, because you're just like, everybody's just doing it. So, yeah, it's really interesting.
I don't know how we got onto the topic, but I think Brian was telling me some stories about his career in general. And we were starting to talk about how some companies are seeing that the roles need to evolve to put more of an emphasis or a different type of approach on the non sort of day-to-day product design work. You know, the things that are like impact the brand, and, you know, like brand is a product is the brand, you know, companies that are redefining the roles to some extent to put back an emphasis on quality management onto design management. Mm-hmm. Where like, I think over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, the largest emphasis has been growth. Companies are in high growth mode. Hire, let's grow and build our team. Mm-hmm. The number one priority is like the, you know, potentially like the organization support mechanisms, the individual, you know, the care of the individual. While those things are all important, I think there's a trend in people saying, oh, well, aren't we also responsible for the quality too? And so we were just having a general conversation about that. We were sharing stories about what we've heard from other companies and in our experiences. And
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think the two words, a lot of the conversations I have with a lot of people on the team cross like seniority wise, even when we talked in fund size of like in, you know, agency, if you're working for clients, if you're in-house, it's always between like delivery and intention is probably like the two words that I like to use. And it's like, it's speed, it's execution. Like there's a lot of different frames that you can use for it. But I do think probably around the precipice of like 5 years ago, tail end of my time with fund size and then like going back into in-house, around that time, there's like such high growth. You did have a lot of, it's always servant leadership. It's always like working and thinking about like, how are you getting the most excitement out of people? Which I always like that about fund size. Like if you like the work you're doing, you're going to get like good work. You're going to get high quality. Obviously it's like talent pool is really high, agency work. I think like when you talk to leaders that have been in both, like a former head of design, like Deb had crossover from marketing to in-house. And I think there's just like a bar difference because the, you know, people are paying and there's a clear transaction of like what I'm going to bring as quality. I think when you transition from like, I was at a startup in-house, then to fund size, and then back into in-house. It's interesting to see like around that time, like 2019, 2020, you definitely had like the size and delivery aspect was really like an intentional operational goal because you're like, oh, well, we're getting so many of these designers. There's so many tools. There's so much like, not that it was easy, but I think there's a lot of time open to be like explore. But then I think what's happened, which is seen, you know, just reflecting, looking at that, when you start thinking quality, you're like, yeah, who's owning quality? And it becomes like a really interesting question when there is a little bit more clarity and transaction of it in the agency model, because like you're technically removing the like EPD, the like end product and design triad that happens in in-house. Like you have these three units working and there's just a natural gravity to make sure that those units work as in alignment as possible. There's a challenge of that though, is they all start to blur and then they all like become one group, which you want, but then you remove the tension that creates a lot of things. When you're agency work, there's a natural tension. Like everybody knows the first meeting when you have like a client coming in, even if they're like, man, y'all's work like blows the socks off of us. We're really excited. There's just this like little bit of clear like power dynamics in the beginning that it's like, we're having you here because we can't do it ourselves, which is okay. And we want that. And we're willing to like value that really high. But that actually allows for this like gap in the middle to keep that tension because you're not fully in there. Like you want to be embedded with it. And I think I learned that in fund size enough that which I think I learned from coming from in-house to an agency world is like, man, I'm going to really eat, breathe and sleep this like client's work. But then you start to remove the value of it and you need that like tension. But I think the tension goes back to quality versus delivery.
Well, if you say that, like, I agree that I think that point of tension is there, but like, what is the value of that tension? Like, what does that tension do? Does that because are you saying that tension puts the onus back on the agency to make sure the shit is good?
Yeah, well, it's quality. I mean, I think when you have tension, like obviously you guys know I'm going to use a lot of metaphors, and anybody that's worked with me is going to be annoyed by this, but in a good way. But like, if you shake up the like salad dressing too much, like that's great. Salad dressing is going to be great. Pour on salad, you're great. You got a mixture of all the flavors. You got umami. It's solid. But like the tension is what happens when you let time sit and then you start seeing what parts sediment to each other.
Okay.
And I think when you let that time sit, or in an agency situation, you have like a little bit of like a healthy gap, like no man's land in the middle, you're able to start seeing like, okay, well, if this separates, where does what go to who? And I think in-house, it's been really interesting, which has been really solid in the last... I'm excited for it as a design person, part of the design field is like, it's really exciting to think about who owns quality. Like you have those conversations come up. It's like, cool. You nailed the delivery. You nailed the shipping. You have your thing at certain size companies. Like you have the distribution and you're seeing it with a lot of products. And now we're starting to see like, what's the defendable moat and like, what's the separation? A lot of that becomes like, you see like Katie Dill, a lot of folks talking about it, like Stripe. They're saying like, if you're trying to measure design quality, you're already going to have a hard time. Mm. The big thing is just like understanding that like someone put extra intention into this like thing and you can't measure it. It's like, it takes risk or intentional call out that you are going to value it. And I think that is something that an agency perspective, that power dynamic is set from the beginning. The person already had to walk in. They already had to be like, I'm coming to you to do something different that I don't know if we're equipped to do. That dynamic is already saying like, it's okay if there's not a metric attached to this, the metric, because it's leading. Hmm. It's like started from the front. And then like a lot of the same challenges in in-house are, how do you culturally create that? How do you culturally make that build? And also like, how do you create a healthy tension that allows for clarifying like who is responsible for what? It's almost like what you would expect for feature level teams is like, what's your OKR? Like, who's responsible for this thing?
Yeah.
Now it's like, go within the EPD and be like, okay, so if there's like the perfect dressing, we want it shooken up, but that's the challenge for the in-house is like, you want, it's, that's the paradox. You want the dressing to be shooken up, but if everybody didn't play their part, you're missing something. And then the salad dressing is just, it's botched, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's just, that's I think what's been interesting, especially within like the market, especially to see like what's happening when you're just reading about things on LinkedIn, is like a lot of people are looking at different expectations and roles. I think it's cyclical. I think at some point I've talked with people who have been in here for the first dot-com bubble and like worked with a lot of great people about like design, and they're same thing. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It just, I mean, I assume for you too, like you and Deb are probably very similar, and like folks that you're talking to, it's like, it's not new. It's like the layer changes, but like it's the same current.
Yeah, it's cyclical. And then there's also modes of operation depending on the context of where, what you're working on and what phase it's at, or the company goals, right? Like pre-market, post-market, you know, like what, competition is different in all those different spaces. And so it's like wearing different hats.
Yeah.
The way that I see it is like, okay, well, I'm here. Okay, I'm putting this hat on in terms of like what I need to, how to think about it. But bringing this back to in-house, I mean, the things that you were saying about agency, I definitely agree with. But the world has changed, and it is changing. Like most companies realize now that they're a tech company, and most companies that have realized that they're a tech company at this point in time have a design operation and invested a lot of time and money into it. And so you could say that most tech companies have a design team that has a certain level of maturity. You could also make the argument at this point in time, most have a higher level of maturity because they have more experience doing it. So the role of an agency is changing a bit, but I don't want to really talk about the agency side of it. I want to talk about the in-house side of it. So what is it that you've seen in your various careers or the conversations you have with people, like what is necessary for the in-house teams to solve that problem of like, even though it's subjective, like meeting certain level of quality, divergent stuff, the things that like make them, would potentially make them, shooting myself in the foot here, less reliable on an agency to do that, that kind of work, you know, these types of things.
Yeah, I think you said something about that. I think a lot of people actually don't give the industry or design teams as a whole enough credit. Is like, I think actually a lot of the problem that I see or I hear about is that maturity point first. Like, we are really mature. Like, I look at my side as like the ebbs and flows that I've worked throughout. There's times that I've been like operationally to a point that I know like every single point size. I know every single work that's happening. I know every single stage. I know how to operationalize the double diamond. Like, you have like enough time. You have made systems scalable enough. You have 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 week, 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we did, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you put these, they're just intention and recipes together. But then like, I think that's the challenge. Like, I get goosebumps thinking about it. For talking to a lot of people, is like, you can operationalize, and that is helping you facilitate delivery and delivery with the best case outcome. But what's removing is then when you have these challenges of like what I've found coming from fund size and then being able to apply it elsewhere is the actual quality and the wow factor. Like, you know, there's kind of like a high level, I think, I've heard different folks say like, you know, your ship track gets atrophied in the agency world, and then your wow and like vibe track gets atrophied in the in-house world. Mm-hmm. And it's just the environment that you're in. And I think what you're saying is like, if you don't need to be as dependent or you don't want to be as dependent, but you're mature and you've kind of like squeezed out as much of the operational side, which a lot of these teams are like 40, 50, 60, 100. And they're like, okay, we got this. But they're like, but we're not getting the wow. Like, that's what I think you usually hear when I've been on the agency side and I'm hearing that. They're like, man, you got so many talented people. But like, the thing is like, oh, there's not a wow. And then the same thing as an in-house when I'm seeing myself like talking with like a lot of the folks that are wanting this. And you're like, depends on what scale you're at. But they're like, I just like, the Stripe conversation too is like, there's intention. Someone used this and like, I can't put my finger on it, but like, this is like a wow thing. I think that's really hard because you actually are further away from it when you've over processed the design flows that came out of maturity and scale and size. Mm. But you're at this like precipice where now it's like, you have everything, you're doing all of the right processes. They're all rooted in really good structure. But what happens when the outcome is like, you just see it and you're just like, eh. And it's like, but that's like, but then like, how do you balance that? Because you have to reconcile with that when you're in-house that you're like, well, we have to, what's the deliverable? You have to think about risk. You have to think about what are we willing to do?
There's gravity attached to it.
Yeah, I think gravity is a great word because there's an energy to it. But then I think the agency side, it just being an exercise in like, I'm going to blow the socks off these people. You're kind of removed from the realities.
Right.
And everything in the world gets slowly diluted in a good way because it compromises. And like, I heard somebody put a good metaphor is that like, if you look at product work or making things as policy related to like international government or relations, et cetera, is like, policy is just meaning everybody has some level of like buy-in and alignment in it. It will squeeze the wowness a little bit, but like you need that because you also can't have the other side where it's like, wow, this is so wild, but it's completely removed from reality. And I can say that this is the coolest shit I've ever seen, but like, will it float? And if the answer is no, then you kind of, and you can be risky on each side. But I think to your point, like what you need is like, knowing the hats. You mentioned the hats. I think the hats is the good thing. Is like I've hired a lot more people with crossed over backgrounds because you can figure out like you want people to like live in between these worlds a little bit. And I've had challenges with that when I've applied somewhere and the person that I was applying to just like didn't see it. Like they saw associate creative director, like design lead. And like, oh, we don't need that. We need a design manager. And I think that's a little bit to where the world was at 5 years ago. The team sizes, you had to be able to communicate what you were doing because people had invested so much. They're like, I need to see it. But then now we're realizing that like the outcome is not, it's not like activity because those are the other organizations are more built on activity and lagging. Like, did you deliver this and it did it? Or like updates like, wow, we're doing a lot of stuff. But that doesn't always mean it. And I think design is now realizing even as mature as we are, the end of the goal that like some of the people that are really the thing that you win is if you're always leaving meetings and people are like, wow, that was dope. And that's like a vibe. That's a vibe metric, you know? That's a craft metric too.
Whoa, there's so much there. Like, I don't even know where to start. I want to go back to something you said about operationalizing the double diamond. I mean, every human is unique and has its own, every human has their own experience. You know, some people come from different trade crafts. Some people have worked in-house in agency, et cetera, but not everyone has. And so, you know, and there's also like a certain amount of people that I would imagine that started in the design industry during the pandemic that have only worked at one company and are now in design management positions. Mm-hmm. Their context is a little bit limited. And there's nothing wrong with that. But like, You've had a success in operationalizing the Double Diamond, but I've seen a lot of people that haven't been able to, or are not even aware that that's a concept, like that, you know, or like there's a, and I'm not dogging at all, but like I see this happen a lot, like where a team just iterates on one thing over and over again, and to build that wow factor you're talking about, like all the stakeholders saying wow. But how could you, like, you, to me it seems hard to get a wow unless you have like more, unless you have a lot of things to look at. And it's like going to a restaurant, right? Like you can only order one thing, but you're doing to, like, you're looking at the pictures or the description, and to the best of your ability, you're trying to pick the thing that's going to wow your taste buds the mm-hmm. most. And you do eat with your, like, visually speaking, we eat with our eyes first mm-hmm. when it comes to design too. Mm-hmm. So like, I wonder, like, sorry, I'm rambling, but like, how can people that don't have this, you know, similar experiences learn about how to be aware when something is popped in that they need to put a different hat on to realize, oh, we're not at the converge stage, we're at the diverge stage. Right. And then it, like, this is secondary question, but I think right now in today's world, to stand out in this world where everyone's making software at a, such a high volume and there's so much competition, I believe that branding is more important than even like the tactical decisions on the product level. So like to get some of these wow factors, couldn't it, I mean, this is a conversation, but like, yeah. couldn't it be better if brand was added to that triad that you describe where it's a, like a square? Like,
I mean, I think now.
Yeah, like shouldn't brand and product and engineering, like shouldn't that be a more cohesive team? Like how much, you know, like how much?
Well, I mean, I think that I would say first thought is like, yeah, because I think if brand is involved, they can pretend that voice or that presence can help maybe identify the narrative around what the wow is and what the wow is meant to do. Because like, I think wow is important, but in the end, the whole time, like we're talking about wow, I'm just like trying to rationalize what wow means. Because like, and sometimes like working on the same thing, iterating on the same thing can get you to the wow. Because you are optimizing, you're iterating, you're refining, and eventually you will get to like the desired outcome of what is going to be a wow. But then there's the other side of it where it could be something completely game changing that a small team came together in 3 days and bang, and you know, knocked something out of the park. It's like, holy shit, like this is incredible.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's, that like there's levels and I don't know.
Yeah, there are levels. I'm thinking of like a mix of a couple of different concepts that, and I'm bringing up Deb because we know Deb. And it's like, but I had a design at Vanta right now and I chat with her like once a month and it's so dope. It's like, we have a lot of shorthand, but the interesting conversations go, first of all, if that was your rambling, I'm fucked. but this is good. Can I swear on here?
I think you already have.
Maybe we'll do a bleep. It's like, beep, beep. It's like, man, Brian's got to stop doing that. I think what you're talking about is like there's operationalized and there's using this, but there's like a, I'm gonna get weird here. The best way I can describe it is like you can't define the wow. And where the wow changes is in the context of the environment you're in. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to read the energy of an organization or read an energy of all groups. Like at the end of the day, it's groups of dynamics of people.
From I mean, it's
like,
coming back to hats.
Hats. It's all hats. All yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's like what... But the energy thing is like, there's an energy to an organization when you hop in from the outside or outside in to like in up mm-hmm. is like, you need to read the energy signals of what's happening. Like different companies create that momentum and create that wow differently. Like some companies come from like their ethos, some come from their mission, some come from like customer centricity, some come from their founders, some come from their like different groups. Like different groups even have a different energy pattern within an organization. And I've been really lucky to be able to like work through a bunch of those in-house and work through a bunch of those in agencies. Like, mm-hmm. so you pick up those hats. And I think the hard thing is you can't, to your answer your question, I tell some people it's like you can't rush the reps. Like you need to
it's just time.
You need to play those. Like remember how many times when it was like, I think you and I were both talking about design sprints, we're like, what's this like small AJ and Smart thing happening at like some obscure YouTube video. And then we did it. And like some time is like, Brian, you don't have anything to do for 2 weeks. Do you want to figure this out? And then I was like, I'm just going to bother Tony while I'm doing this and like sit in this like discovering a lost like theory or something, you know? And it's like red lines going across. And we didn't nail those, but we did like 5 or 6 of those reps. Mm-hmm. And like for your point from a risk taking, we were like, let's try it with this client. Let's try it with this client. Let's try it with, can we do this in 1 hour? Can we do this in 2 hours? Can we do this in a day? Can we do this in a week? Can we do this in 2 weeks, 6 weeks, et cetera? And like you figure out that some can't take it. And then you're like, okay, then you diagnose why. And I think that's the energy pattern. It's like, because of this, they might be more risk adverse from this versus that. But I need to understand that to know even what hat to put on and then what to think about it. And we've had this interesting thought around like, there is a you are right though, there's a process. And I don't think the other metaphor I'll use all the time is like you're clipping in and you're climbing. Mm-hmm. Like there is a level of like, I'm talking about the wow, shoot from the hip, but it's almost like the people that say, don't go to college. And it's like, you went to college and you're like, well, yeah, I can talk about it in hindsight because I've understood it. It's like, but you need to clip in. It's more about then looking at it as less of focusing on the process, but just thinking about what are the outcomes for each one of those and then condensing to get that and reading the energy pattern. Yeah. And I think that's where it's like, because I've used the same process exactly on like a similar thing. I'm like, I'm going to rinse and repeat. It just blew up in my face.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes it's like, we're just wading in the water for like a long time, just working on stuff. But then as I think what we're talking about later is like, which we should hold on, but it's like the future of what as a design leader is supposed to do is like, how are you making sure your receptors are on when you're like, ooh, there's a little bit of lightning right there. And like, that's the wow thing.
You got to be able to pick up.
Yeah.
And then there's a trust, there's a risk, et cetera. But I won't get onto that.
So, I think there's an interesting duality there because like, I think that I call it, you know, like a spidey sense is like, exists on both in-house and agency world. Because, you know, if you're in-house, like that's obviously going to be important because you need to be able to sense those things as early as possible so that you can maybe capitalize on that or whatever and deploy whatever process or protocol, whatever to achieve some outcome, whatever. But on the other side, like agency, it's important to acknowledge and be aware of those things because you can add value to the relationship. You can add depth to the relationship.
I know what pain you're going through. I feel it for you. Yeah.
A lot of this is communication too. Like one of the things that I've learned about myself, you know, like as I've worked with people is that I've learned that I need to communicate with them how I like to ingest ideas, you know, and everyone's different, you know, but I think like, I'm trying to use this example to talk about how an organization might be able to do that. Cause to your point about every organization being differently, whether it's a stakeholder organization, like for the people that work within it or serve that organization, it could be beneficial to be like, this is how we take ideas. You know, like we like to do it this way, or we like divergent stuff, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's true. It's like you cannot really airdrop a singular process into any group of humans or any organization and expect that it's going to have the same results.
No.
Sometimes you need to be like, all right, let's test the shit out of this and figure out what works. Sometimes you just be like, this is my gut feeling because of my expertise.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything in between, and it's just going to be different everywhere, you know?
And the end of that is like, that's just the trust my expertise is the spidey sense. It's just like, oh, I have my own model of risk, reward, and benefit that I'm applying to the energy patterns that are happening. I'm using energy because it's just like a really broad term, but like momentum, that's what your goal is, what to create. But it's like, and then you're figuring out, I mean, you can unpack it. It all comes down in my view, I'm doing generalizations, but I like it because it helps me frame is probably just, it's everybody has their own like risk and like bet mechanism, and it's informed by different things. Mm-hmm. Some people are more risk adverse, some people aren't. But to your point, it's like understanding that is really helpful because it's like, hey, like you're classical, I'm jazz. That helps actually start the dynamic well. And I think we've had a lot of good times when we started doing the design sprints would be like level risk averse and adaptability is like in the middle of day one and you have a 5-day thing, you're like, yo, we're going to throw out all of this and we're going to like completely go back. And like, you need to be able to do that because you're like, energy signals off. This is different. We got to be able to hit this. And then you're changing it that way. And I think, that's the hat thing. So that's why the long answer to, I think, your good question is like people being like, man, I've only worked in this stage as a design manager, done the operational. I've had a couple experiences with that with some like really talented people that like either even had that. And then it was like worked. It was changed from the environment. And the cool answer is like, you just get excited about the work you're doing. Like, I do think that's magical about our field is like, I think 5 years ago, we had a weird vibe on player coach, or at least we talked about it that way. You're like, oh, if you're a manager, like in-house at least, it was like, yo, you got to scale out, you got to do this stuff. And I think what's been great about agencies is everybody I've worked at that I've worked at agencies are like, oh, my directors or even our like head of designs were like involved in reps. Like we're involved.
Well, because it never gets to that growth stage. Over years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because the playground, the sandbox is a lot smaller.
But everybody has to be in the playground.
Yeah, everybody has
and
to
like,
be.
Yeah. And then it's like, so then the concentration on that craft quality stuff is like you operationalize kind of magic a little bit. I think that's what I learned a lot from my time at Fundsize was, yes, it was a little waterfall, but you operationalized it. Like I think the coolest thing that I've seen that y'all did that I've been using more is the ability of like, hey, the working team has figured out core screens and now we got to do like a vibe layer. I don't know if you still do it, but it was like, here are three or four core screens. The lead on that team will like pretty much like blow through a horn to the studio. And then anybody that is like, oh, I can like dip out or I have an extra free couple days, I'm going to play in. And you bring some like wild views into it, but it's not too wacky, but then different people play with it differently. And then you look at this and you have just kind of operationalized a little bit of magic, but it's enough where the framing of like an architect versus a gardener, have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Talk about for parenting a lot, but it's like, you can't, an architect sees the end thing from the beginning. Like everything they're making moves to that. Or like the furniture builder, you could do different, or like the woodsman. But then like the gardener is like, I'm still framing and I have outcomes. I have things I'm doing, but I'm planting these things and I'm setting it up to allow for a natural thing. And then you're kind of riding it a little bit. And I think, you operationalize that, but you're right, you're condensing. Like everybody's playing that. And then you go to the in-house and you're like, well, some of these people haven't like played for a while, which doesn't mean that they can't play.
Yeah.
They've only just like sat in the operational, because it's a magic thing when you get a manager that just starts being like, oh, wait, I get to like play again. And you're like, heck yeah. And it's just like, and then the magic comes out. You're like, what is a surprise? Like now every review they're bringing, there's like this. And you're like, yeah, like you need like player coaches, because you got to remember what like you love about the game. And that only happens from like, are you going to deliver all of this stuff as the lead IC or designer for the next 6 months? No, but like you got to remember how to like play, because that's what helps the magic. And I think about that is like, it's super doable. I've seen a lot of people switch on it. It's just like, you're right. A couple of years ago, it was just growth at all point was just like manage the team size, which is great.
So yeah, I wanted to kind of dive in there because I was curious because of a trend that I've been seeing, and I just saw it and I shared an article with you about Jack Dorsey and Block, formerly known as Square, like scaling down and like flattening their organization. And it seemed like, if I was reading between the lines of that article, it is speaking to exactly this, making sure that the folks that are sticking around are going to be contributing materially and making sure that, I don't know if that's accurate, but that's just kind of the gist of what I got out of that, this one little piece, and like a flattening of the organizations to be making sure that everybody has an opportunity to play or should be playing. And so kind of coming back to kind of where we started, maybe a little bit of like the role of a design manager initially, you know, 5 years ago, four years ago, growth oriented, but now you're shifting more into like this contributorship to a lot of different things. And then again, kind of speaking to the hat thing, is it in the Spidey sense thing, like you're going to be expected now to be very flexible and very aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
so you can play different roles at different times.
Yeah, yeah.
More and away from like a like title oriented, but like influence based.
Well, you kind of like, man, I gotta stop thinking about everything as energy, but I'm gonna do it anyways. Like you. I've had so many conversations about this. People are like, man, I want to be a manager one day. I want to work on this sort of stuff. Like, what is it like? And like, it's it gets harder the more senior you get, is because your goal is not to like, your goal is pretty much just like go from fire. Your goal is to find fires and find magic, and like that is a very weird spot to be in as a design leader too, because, and just as a person, just as like, just, you know, what goals do you have when you're an IC? If people haven't read this, like the death spiral as a new manager is like core to my working fabric. And the IC, you have something tangible at the end of the day. You're like, you're kind of good with that and you're done. And you're like, sweet, I did that. But as like a manager and you get higher level, it's like you get less of that time. You still need to be a player, but finding the fire is that as soon as something looks good, you need to leave. Like that's your scale out. You're like, I'm not here to harvest this. Like I'm not, for me to provide the most value, I need to hop out. So you work on your tendencies of fire is to find new fires and to know when a fire is low enough that you don't need to handle it. That's where I see a lot of people break or have a challenge kind of figuring that out. And then the second one is the wow. And the wow is like, how do you find the wow? How do you know how to foster a wow? And then how do you sometimes contribute to the wow? And I think that's the, then they're mixed. So it's like for me and my makeup, it's like you learn long enough about where the energy is coming, helps you find out like, is this a high fire or a small fire? And then you're like, okay, well, like high fire, this is important. I can line this in through different inputs. I know that this is going to be really big for the team, but based on X, Y, and Z, good position for design to do this. Then you jump in and then now you're like, okay, with what I have, how do I foster, create wow? Is that me injecting? Is that me creating a new sandbox to allow? Like, who do I get in? And I think that's the thing of the player side. If you, and you can maybe develop the fire aspect from the operational side, but like the agency thing is like, there is like a taste aspect of it. And I think flattening or whatever, it's the same stuff. You see that like grainy video of Steve Jobs talking about hating like management consultants or managers. Again, it's like cyclical. Mm-hmm. It's like you just kind of like expanded. We expanded a lot and we thought more bodies in seat meant like more wow. And I think we're realizing that's not the case. And that could be from like maybe not knowing how to get the most wow or et cetera. I'm not even going to open up that one. But I do think
I think that's a whole conversation in itself.
Yeah, because then the next one is just like, okay, like, well, then you got to know good taste. And I think that's what agency has a little bit more because it's condensed. Like you're actively paying for the like, I'm not part of this conversation to like bring you specialty on the ship track. Like you are the ship track to the client.
It's funny you say that. And it might be related, maybe not related, but I was thinking about this recently. There's a lot of times like, context is usually the end all be all of like direction, I think. But sometimes no context or less context is better.
Yeah, you need
you have that, like you're saying, the tension or the delineation between known and unknown, and if you come in and you don't know, then you're not subconsciously or consciously like restricted.
Yeah, well, it's the gravity point. Yeah, that's the gravity. Context is the gravity, and you pay for it. And I think it's just about living in the middle. Like I found myself operationalizing, swinging from one side of the agency side back into the in-house. And then you like, you want all the context. You didn't have the context before. So you swing over and then you're like, wait, who's looking at this with like the fresh eye? And like, how am I maintaining a healthy outsider view and playing so that you can bring that value? Because it's like, I'm not unique or independent. If I'm trying to do a design job that's like also more eng or product, because there's people that are really specialized on that. But like, what do I do that's different? And it takes me to, I was meaning to text you the other day, it's like the poster show thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do you either want to sell no posters with something you like, or do you want to sell no posters and something you don't
exactly.
like? And a part of that is understanding like, where is your thing? And that it's like a niche point. And with an organization, I think design is specifically positioned to own the wow more than most other organizations, most of the other departments. And I think we've just kind of like tried to, we've kind of blended really well, which is the process of context. The gravity's kind of pulled us that. And I've seen teams do it more and more successful is when they're like, no, I bring like the cool, like I get the like, you know, when you have one of those mm-hmm. reviews and you have the right team and people are like, this is sick. You can just like feel the energy going on, even if it's like terrible, you know, you just feel that. I felt more of that from, you hear that when other disciplines come to design reviews or crits or when they get added to the meetings, that it's just like, there's just an energy you leave on it. And like, we can make that really quickly, you know, like this is my take is like, product gets all the wins and like the amazing wins as, or the teams get all the wins on the lagging indicator. You ship something and it was awesome. Dope. Everybody wins and that's sick. That's cool. But it's like beforehand, how do people assess if this project's on fire or not in a good way or a bad way? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you can say activity is one metric. The other one is like people leaving being like, this just like feels cool. Like it's nailing yeah. the right goals, but it's like, this feels cool. And I think that's the world that we're getting to. And I almost feel like I forgot about that.
You made me think of something like there's been projects. There's been like a handful of projects that like you go in, like you're saying, you go into review, you show something and then you leave that review. And then like hear from our point of contact or PM or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, I showed this to somebody else. They really want to be in the next meeting. They want to get involved.
Like
they want to be part of it.
Yeah, man. That's like jacked up really cool. Thinking about that stuff.
I was just gonna say that, you know, no one can predict the future. But if I try, I predict that these things like the wow, the magic, that this feels great sort of thing is gonna be the main task of the design teams, mm-hmm. because if it's true that AI and other technology will execute it, then the skill set is critical to enable the machines or other ways of producing work to be able to do it. Now, that's true whether it's a machine or a designer, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you need something executed by a person, by a team, by a machine, you have to be able to know you have to be able to orchestrate the wow, right? The intangible and tangible aspects of that. You have to know what you want, you know? And I think that, you know, like, I don't know, like it's kind of crazy thought, but it's not too far of a stretch to me to think that, you know, within the next year, like, you know, machines will do a high percentage of all the execution work, but they won't do a good job unless the fire, if I'm using that your terminology correctly, is there, right? Otherwise it'll just be a bunch of sameness in the outputs.
Yeah, it's the same problem. You're just like, it's just a cheaper problem. But like that's the mm-hmm. It doesn't solve the problem, which is like you need a little bit of the you need the wow. You could say that's prompting. You could say that's like, but like prompting not from a case of AI, it's like you're just prompting the team, you're challenging the team, mm-hmm. you're prompting the org, you're prompting the situation, you're prompting like, what's like, how do we get a little provocative here? Like, how do we let the wow happen? You're prompting something for some sort of output, and then you're just like, your taste is what's unpacking. Like, is this magical or not?
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to put it, because that's a very human thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like creating... getting people together and charging them up to do awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's the same thing of like remote work. When's the right place with hybrid? Like, you know, there is something magical about like a 3-day design sprint with people that you've worked with for the last like 2 or 3 years, but like remotely, like there's just like a natural energy that you can adjust mm-hmm. to really quickly. And the output, as long as it's focused and the pre-work's right, you have to do the right work to be like, is this even the right fire to work on?
Yeah.
But I do think the wowness is like, I still think you're responsible as a design leader at the end of that thing. It is a good bit to be like, you're part of the salad dressing is at the end of that design sprint or whatever spike is like, there needs to be wow factor. Like you need to have like that. And it's hard mm-hmm. because it's like, different projects have different wow, and like different orgs require different, or like think the wow, value wows differently. So you're like, you have to read the energy pattern and feel out how do you like make something outsized that impacts it. I think that's different, feels different than like how it was maybe like 5 years ago or like 3 or 4 years ago. It's like, which is team size, hiring. There's always part of that. Those operational and admin stuff is important, but now it's been really cool that like, because there's no other group in that, in these orgs that can do it that well. I do think to your point on brand is like brand's really important, but you run the risk of when you load too many teams together, they all start to like, it's a human dynamic. You start to like, there's a gravity to share too much, and you need to create the healthy tension, whether that's a racy model or something of like, how do you, who plays what and how do they do it?
I think that's something that at least that I see as a challenge in our industry is that, you know, the definition of design, I think, is literally creating something with intention. And so if you think about it, brand is contributing, product is contributing, engineering is contributing, and product designers are all doing design if you use the if you use a literal definition. So I feel like, yes, like different people have more of the A or the R and the racy or more like the ownership of certain things. But and when you when you think about that and you think about teams getting smaller, right? I'm kind of wondering what, like, how this will all shake out. I'm also curious about the titles themselves. You know, I've never personally put too much onus on titles because I personally never felt like that was important to me. But I'm starting to realize that okay, that you know, like something can't like when someone says their own title out loud, it can define what part of the what they're responsible for. So question for you, is design management the right title? Does the title design manager in the language describe what that person should be doing? And how do you feel about some of these other enterprise organizations that are actively changing some design manager titles to design director or creative director?
Yeah, this might be self-fulfilling because it's like from fund size, but it's like, you know, we ran, when I was there, we ran the product design leads as pretty much like small design managers, sans one-on-ones or those things, but you had more impact on that person's day-to-day and that person's career growth than the like a true manager. And I think if you look at other orgs, like a group product manager, or I mean, eng managers might be a little bit closer to how we're mapped right now. But theirs is like, if you think about those titles, it's like I am owning a suite or an area, a critical part of the business, as or like even a GM, for example. But like they're still managing a team, but everything's in service to what your responsibility is, to your point on title. And I think you could say like a creative director or an art director or like a design lead or even like something like that probably is a little bit stronger than a manager, because you could have a design lead that's managing two or three people, but then it's very clear that it's like this person is a like craft player coach. And I think sometimes you say design manager, you're like, oh, you're...
There's a separation.
Yeah.
There's a separation versus I think maybe, no, I mean, at least my view, I'm like director of product design for like a certain business area. Like that's even like, I sometimes I don't know what that means, but what it does help is... If someone's like anything that comes through from a vibe perspective of this business area, you are responsible for that. Yeah. That's pretty much saying like you're a creative director. You are like, you should be.
Yeah.
Now there's nuances to that and you can have a bunch of teams, but like that feels like it changes from director to senior manager or manager. Yeah. It's like.
I guess I asked that question from this, but you know, also everyone's different, but you know, like, you know, what would you like, and it's and depending on your where you are in the org, it also makes a difference. But if you're, you know, if you're at a certain level where you're close enough to work, you know, like, you know, how would you like, what would be your answer to someone saying like, well, I'm a design manager, I shouldn't be designing, you know, like I'm managing the team, not I'm my job is to make sure that I'm more focused on the environment for these people to do the best work of their lives. And if they get stuck, I'm not going to get in. You know, like I'm not going to unstuck them or add fuel to the fire. I'm just going to help them make things, even when it gets to a point where it's not producing the right results. I think there's a line there that some people proactively cross. I mean, I don't even know if that's the right word, but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because they feel like, okay, I need to get involved. And then I think there's some people who are like, no, I'm not going to get involved because that's not what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
And aside from the way these things work out, like what is your opinion on what will be expected in the future of someone who is a design manager or senior design manager, not a director of product design or not a VP of design, but someone that's closer to the work?
I mean, if you zoom out even from like the high level, going back to the poster thing, it's like if you're not reading the room and like adding some sort of niche or differentiated value to whatever game that you're playing in, you just put yourself at more risk. That's how I've always looked at it. So like that's whether like applying somewhere or that's being part of a poster show. It's like it becomes awareness of like what's the world you're in. Like I did like an internal talk where it's like never bring a ping pong paddle to like a soccer game. Like you need to know what game you're playing. Yeah. And then being like, if you know what game it is, then like what's your differentiated thing? Because like you're probably not going to be good as this person. You're probably not good as that person, but you have to do it. And I think when you think about those roles, at least for me, where I found a lot of success is I'm like, okay, when I'm in a group, we had this at like a Mind the Product like PM workshop. Remember they're like, there's like five categories of like what this CEO or I don't know what it was. And they're like, okay, but they're good in 1, 2, and 3, and 5 or like 1, 2, and 5. And like, what's your goal as a product manager? And it was interesting exercise to be like, oh, regardless if I'm good at 1 and 2, now I have to be 4, 3, and 4. And like, that's environmental. And I think when you're talking about like, oh, I'm not going to touch this. The other side I would go into is like, I remember we worked together on something where it was like, at that point I was like, oh man, I got to be like I'm a design lead, but I got to zoom out. I got to do whatever. And we were going really, really fast on some projects, really intense. And you were talking about something and you were like, okay, I'm kind of stuck on it. And I'm like, oh, well, I think I know this suggestion to this. And we just like paused for a second. And you were really good about being like, how you can help me the most right now is actually you're like, your craft suggestion. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't be serving the group and the outcome if I was like, no, that's not my role. I got to step out. But it's like, at the end of the day, we're builders, we're a craft discipline. And if you are any type of leader or like in charge of a group of people, you have to still maintain some level of like, I know what this is and I know what to do. And I think agency is that's the healthy tension. It's like you have people stepping in being like, I know that's off. And it's like, and that's not personal because like our collective goal is to get to the wow thing and you want everybody to play in it. And I think in-house, sometimes you can be like, it's not my area. Or like, oh, I'm going to let that team, at least I know what they're working on, the right important thing. But like, I always just think in my head, I was like, homie, if that's a P0 and I'm worried about it, I need to be like in it. Now that doesn't mean me shipping and I need to be really clear about what does this person want to learn? How do I get them that? But like my head's on the block too, like the proverbial block, even if you're like in a really good area. And that's just the choice. If you're like defining those things in a current or a past state, the process is hard because things can change. And then all out of nowhere, one part of that process is gone. And you're like, so you need to be able to like read the energy and be like, if I'm close enough and I'm bringing differentiated value, whatever that is, supplemental to the team, then you're like, it just, you're always going to have more opportunity.
I love that because it's not the way that I interpret what you said and what we're talking about is it's not really about like what would change on the job description level. It's like whether a person has the personality to want to be involved in that way, all the different metaphors we talked about, like, reading the room in hats and are they adaptable to these situations? You know, like, I'm assuming there will be people that will and won't, but the people that my takeaway for me is the people that will succeed or the people that will be those chameleons.
Yeah.
I think so.
And what's the opposite? Like if you play that out, you have somebody high enough, removed enough from the work that is coming into the putting is always made at the design team at the, like, the crit level, the passing through the computer, or like, hey, I need some, like, hey, I think I'm having a hard time with this, blah, blah, blah. It's at the sandbox. And like, imagine if you were the person that these people are looking to, and there's a tough time and they don't know how to move forward, and like, you don't know how to play in the sand, you know? And you're like, so regardless of title, like I always just looked at, when I was a manager, a senior manager, I just looked at myself as like a higher operating IC, but I was really intentional about, there are people here that do all of these things way better than me, and that they're wanting that, and they're definitively saying they don't want this other stuff. And there's other parts of my role I have to do, but I would just supplement that. So most of the time, I think as a design leader, your supplemental is in the early time when things are shaky and open. It's creating like safety and trust in the sandbox when people are worried about it. That's when I found myself most critical, is like, they're like, wow, we have to like redo this whole thing. And everybody's gravitating to the context. They're like smothering ideas too quickly. And your goal is just to be like, for 3 days, let's just go wild. And I'm going to give you guys prompts. And like, that's where me as an, I still need to have an IC muscle to be like, I've noticed you guys are overusing X, Y, and Z pattern for the last 6 months. I'm going to give you a prompt to say, do this without any of that. We wouldn't actually do that, but it opens up the crazy eights vibe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're like, but you kind of have to like direct different 3 or 4 groups to be like, I want you to go on this spectrum, this vector, this spectrum. Like, and when people are unsure, it's like, just finish it out, even if it's a terrible idea.
Trust the process.
And in the day, that's an agency flow.
Like, that's all it is. Deploying a different type of way of thinking about a problem.
And in-house, and it's like forgetting. I remember when I went to school for drawing and printmaking, and it was really great where they always talked to like, your first 2 years in art school is about learning all of the structure and all of the rules. The last 2 years are the hardest part, because you have to now you have to do it and actively forget all of the stuff you learned for the first two years. And I think it's just about like, you still have to be a maker to be able to do that, whether it's you prompting or you, I've done it where I've been part of a team and the prompter, just to be able to show people like, it's okay to play a little bit. We have a couple of days, like, do wild stuff. And then I think that's the healthy leader challenging. Like, if you look at it and you're like, this feels safe, or I'm not getting a wow, that's a hard thing to say, but it is like, you are going to have to answer to that when like that product gets shipped or like sent up, that it's like, hey, do you think this is a wow? It's like, I'm not feeling it. Because what's the opposite? You tell them I'm feeling it, then they're like, this person doesn't know quality. So, but like, that's how you help the team. Like, we're all crafters. Like, I'm not like helping people's career by making them deliver mocks quicker. Like, I'm helping by being like, you are in a position where you can take bolder moves, cheaper revs compared to engineering, and you're able to like throw out the constraints and spike on things way quicker than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's like the wow thing. So you kind of like, being like, design is like, I can wow. Like, I can, nobody else can wow as fast in an organization. And I think, and that's another word to just say craft, quality, et cetera.
Yeah.
But
I think that that's a good way to sum our conversation up, is what is your wow? How are you finding your wow?
Hmm.
And you're always seeking that wow. I think that like, for whatever role you may play, I know that we're talking about design management as a whole here, but like, I think that we talked about brand, you know, engineering, product, design, like, finding the wow in all of those is going to do nothing but contribute to the success of whatever you're working on and the organization as a whole as well.
Yeah.
So
maybe be like, wow manager. I don't know.
Wow manager. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know if you have any other final wrap up questions.
I mean, I'm going to probably take the clip of that last thing you said about, you said something like, I can create wow in any organization or something like that. I'm going to put that up on Instagram.
Yeah.
As a promo for this.
I think that's what y'all did really well. What I learned specifically at Fun Size was for that. And then you just deploy it at different process. But it is something magical when people are like, yeah, it's, I mean, that's why we all got into it. It's kind of fun.
Well,
it's like communicating something that you're like, I want to go into a meeting and collectively all of us are like, dude, we made this thing together. And you get like a little bit of joy, because like the opposite is everything's just the same and you're like, you know. Yeah. proverbial cool. stare off.
Yeah. Thanks for hopping on the couch with us, Brian. Yeah, and Brian.
This is a really comfortable being couch.
An inaugural guest to the fold. And
can I touch your hand?
Yeah, yeah. We can just Oh yeah, perfect. Okay.
Oh, and did you feel that?
I got the wow.
Did you feel it? You know?
Well, cool. Thanks everybody for watching and tune in for more awesome episodes of The Fold.
Woo! Cheers.
Right.
Cut. This is such a comfy couch.
It's IKEA.
Bloodsize.com!